The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
26. In the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, the Bible reads this. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And I'd like to speak this morning on almost persuaded, almost persuaded. Those of you this morning that are Bible students know the story here. Of course, it was Paul, the great apostle, that was giving a defense before King Agrippa, and he recounted his past life. He recounted his past life as a Pharisee. He recounted his past life as a persecutor of Christians. Then he begins to explain his conversion, how he was brought to that which is the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 22, he says these words after giving a description of his conversion. He says, "Having therefore obtained help of the Lord," or help of God, it says, "having therefore obtained help of God, I continue this day," it says, "witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than that which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Look at verse 23. The Bible says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. When he says that, all of a sudden Festus rises up. Festus, of course, being the Roman governor, if you would, of Judea. And he rises up, and you'll see in verse 24 that he says this of Acts chapter 26. He says, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad." Now, you understand that the Apostle Paul was a very, very educated man. We're not dealing with a novice, somebody that had just been saved. We're dealing with somebody that knew the Scriptures very well, both the Old Testament and the New. Paul answers him, I believe, very calmly as he denies this, where he says in verse 25, he says, "I'm not mad." So he answers, I believe, in a very calm, sedated type of voice where he says, I'm not mad. I'm not a madman. I'm not somebody that much learning has made me mad. And then he turned to King Agrippa and he says this, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" He says, "I know that thou believest." You can see that there's an earnest desire for him to convince King Agrippa that he needs Jesus Christ as Savior. So with great hope, he says, "Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." And so with a great hope, he's trying to insert the belief that King Agrippa might have in the prophets. The Bible says here that the king said in reply to that, he says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Then note what Paul says in the very next verse, in verse 29. He said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost," watch what it says, "and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." He said, I don't just wish that you were almost persuaded. I wish that you were just like I am. Now, how is Paul speaking? Paul is speaking as a believer. He's saying, I wish you were a believer, just like me. The only thing that I wish was different would be these bonds. So I wish, King Agrippa, that you were a believer just as me. You know, some Bible students say that when Agrippa says this, he says, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." Some people say that he said that flippantly. Others believe that he said it sarcastically. Other people believe that he said it lightly. I don't believe any of that. I believe that he said it very soberly. I believe he said it, if you would please, as being genuine, where he's saying, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." You know, I think that the Apostle Paul was probably the greatest preacher of that day, except for our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a Spirit-filled man. Paul preached with great power. You see, as he talked to Felix, you would see that Paul witnessed to him, and he witnessed to him with great earnest and with great power. You'll also see here, as he witnesses to King Agrippa, how that Paul now sees what King Agrippa, I believe, meant by his answer. And I want to give you some thoughts here about King Agrippa's answer to Paul, where King Agrippa said this. He said, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." What did he mean? I think he meant this. Statement number one, I believe he meant that he had received a witness from a glowing Christian. You see, Paul was not just the average Christian. Paul was somebody that walked with God. Paul was somebody that had the power of God that rested upon his life. Paul was somebody that when he stood to preach, you knew that God was using him. The Apostle Paul was an individual that as he spoke to King Agrippa, he was simply obeying what God says. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And you shall be witnesses unto me." So what was he doing? He was being a witness unto King Agrippa. He was telling him of his past. He was telling him of his conversion. And every Christian ought to be a witness. You don't have to have a great Bible knowledge in order to be a witness. You don't have to have, if you would please, a great depth of Bible truth in order to be a witness. Matter of fact, if you think about those that have received Christ, many times you'll see that those that are the new believers, those that are the young believers, are the ones that are most excited about their faith. Here, Paul did not allow that which was water to be poured upon him, but rather he was an individual that stood to the challenge. He was an individual that appeared before the king. He was an individual that was still a red-hot believer. He did not allow somebody to be able to take the glow away from him. And so here's what we see. I believe it meant that he'd received the witness from a glowing Christian. I believe it meant that, statement number two, that King Agrippa had truly heard the gospel. You know, it's one thing for us to sit and listen. Stay with me now. It's another thing for us to hear. The Bible says faith without hearing. Faith without hearing. How can you have faith without hearing? Now, wait a minute. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot have faith without hearing. You can sit here, if you will, and be able to listen to something, but your mind is 100 miles away. You can sit here and listen to something, and your mind is outside of this building. You can sit here and you can listen to something and not be tuned in. I believe it's so very important that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God that when you come to church, you ought to turn things off. Oh, I think it's good to turn the cell phone off. I think it's good to turn your neighbor off. I think it's good to turn distractions off. Oh, when somebody gets up to go to the bathroom, I think you ought to ignore them and keep your face towards that which is the preacher so that the preacher can be able to preach the Bible and help you to understand great truths. Here's what we understand. We understand that as Paul witnesses to King Agrippa, that it meant that he had received a witness from a glowing Christian. And not somebody that was not glowing, but somebody that was excited about their faith. Somebody that was excited about their God. Then you see, it meant that King Agrippa had truly heard the gospel. The Bible says in Acts chapter 26 and verse 23 that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. He understood the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the good news. The gospel is that Jesus saves. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The gospel has to be heard, however. And so when you have an opportunity to hear the gospel, you ought to sit up straight. When you have the opportunity to hear the gospel, you ought to turn everything off and allow God to be able to use the Word of God to persuade persuade you. Oh, there's some this morning in church that would try to persuade people to become church members. That's not necessarily bad. There are preachers that will mount the pulpit this morning and try to convince people, persuade people to tithe. That's not necessarily bad. Matter of fact, those two things are quite good. Living for God, as preachers mount the pulpit today, is trying to persuade people to live for God and to be holy. That's a good thing. To pray, that's a good thing. To attend church, that's a good thing. But can I tell you, the very best thing that a preacher could ever do in his life is to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be able to help people to see their need of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Here you'll see that's his emphasis. His emphasis to King Agrippa is not to get his money. His emphasis to King Agrippa is not to be well recognized within his presence. But his emphasis to King Agrippa is that there's a Savior that bled and died and shed his blood and went to the grave and rose victorious so that you and I might have eternal life. And eternal life is not in being good. Eternal life is not in being baptized. Eternal life is not in going to church. Eternal life is not in keeping the Ten Commandments. Eternal life is not in keeping the seven sacraments. Eternal life is in Christ and Christ alone. That's what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, my friend, you can go to the tomb of Buddha today and find the bones of Buddha. You can go to the tomb of some other type of religious leader today and find the bones of that religious leader. But can I tell you, go to the tomb of Jesus Christ and you'll find no bones. Why? Because God the Father raised him from the grave. And can I tell you, it's only through Jesus Christ. You can have your religion and you can go to your church, but can I tell you, friend, it's only through Christ and Christ alone can you have eternal life. John chapter 14 and verse 6 makes it very clear, where he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So there's not two ways to heaven. Oh no. There's not three ways to heaven. Oh no. There is not three or four or five or six, or keep adding them to whatever you're adding them to. No, it's Christ and Christ only. "He that hath the Son hath everlasting life." And so when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, God gives them everlasting life. By the way, that's why we run the buses. By the way, that's why we have Sunday school classes. You said, "But it's not easy." Oh, it's not easy, but it's the most important thing we could ever do in the world to be able to reach people with the gospel. That's why we support missionaries and send them around the world. We don't send them around the world so that they can go on vacation. We send them around the world because the world is in dire need of the gospel. So what did it mean when King Agrippa said, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian"? It meant that he had received a witness from a glowing Christian. It meant that Agrippa had truly heard the gospel. It meant that he felt conviction of sin. The Holy Ghost of God was using the Apostle Paul to be able to give a strong witness of Jesus Christ. You see Paul on the Isle of Cyprus during a missionary journey, and you'll see that there was a sorcerer that came to him, and the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 13 verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, "And Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, and set his eyes on him and said," a child of the devil, an enemy of righteousness. "Wilt thou cease," it says, "to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" See, Paul spoke with boldness. Why did Paul speak with boldness? Because Paul knew who he was. He never forgot the fact that once he was a Pharisee. He never forgot the fact that he was a chief of sinners. He never forgot the fact that he was a persecutor of the brethren. He never forgot that. No, he bears record of the fact that he was delivered from that which is darkness unto that which is light. And all he had was an earnest desire in his heart that King Agrippa might come to know the very same Savior that he knew himself. The Bible says in John chapter 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin." Of sin because it says they believe, listen to it now, not on me. So what is the sin the Holy Spirit convicts of? The Holy Spirit convicts of the sin of unbelief. And so as the Apostle Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and as he's speaking forth this testimony, as he's giving a clarity about the gospel and telling about the Savior of the world who shed his blood and died on Calvary, went to the grave and raised victorious over sin, death, and the devil. Here's what he does. He's saying that you need to receive Jesus Christ. You need to receive him as your Savior. What is this sin that convicts man? A man sits there this morning and he knows that he's not yet received Christ as Savior, and all of a sudden he realizes in the depths of his heart that there's an emptiness. He realizes in the depths of his heart that there's a void. He realizes in the depths of his heart there's a question mark that's never been answered. Oh yes, he sits there this morning and he wants to receive Christ, but he doesn't know exactly what to do. There's an emptiness, there's a void, there's a question mark, and he doesn't exactly know what to do. Can I tell you, dear friend, what you ought to do is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Why? Because when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. You'll not get that in religion. You'll not get that in Bible study. You'll not get that because you're a tither. You'll not get that because you're a good musician. You'll not get that because you're a good soloist. You get that, dear friend, only because you bow your heart and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what did it mean? What did it mean when King Agrippa said, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian"? It meant that he had received a witness from a glowing Christian. It meant that he had truly heard the gospel. It meant that he felt conviction of sin. What is conviction of sin? What sin does God convict us of when we've not yet received Christ as Savior? It is the sin of unbelief. Then it meant this, that he had a decision to make. Now, sad to say, I don't think that he made the right decision, and nor do you. You know why? Oh, he had a clear presentation of the gospel. You know why? He had a preacher that cared. You know why? Because he was sitting in the presence of truth. And by the way, you don't know when truth will pass you by. There's been times when I've witnessed to people and I've never seen them again. There's been times when people have come to our church services and never come again. There's been times when somebody got up and they walked out to go to the bathroom and it distracted somebody, and they weren't able to pay attention and they never gave attention again. There's been times when people's heard the gospel and they walked out of a church service, never again to return to a church service before they died. Now, may I say, you ought to receive Christ simply because you have no promissory note of tomorrow. Amen. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Amen. The Bible says that life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. You don't know when life will end. You don't know when your last breath will be taken. You have no promissory note of tomorrow. That's why I say to Christians, live for God today. Why? Because you don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. Be faithful today. Why? Because you don't know if you'll have tomorrow to be faithful. Read your Bible today. Why? Because you don't know if you'll have an opportunity to read your Bible tomorrow. But we do know this, that King Agrippa had an opportunity. His opportunity was right before him. as the great apostle Paul got up, as he gave his testimony of who he was, as he gave his testimony that he was a Pharisee, as he gave his testimony that he was a persecutor of the believers, as he gave his testimony while receiving Christ as Savior, how God the Father from God, it only came through Christ receiving him as Savior, and God the Father was able to help him to see his need of Christ. And that day on that Damascus road, he bowed his heart and received Christ as Savior, and he gave the testimony. I believe he stands in earnest before King Agrippa. And I believe in his heart, he wanted him saved. By the way, all believers that stand before unbelievers truly want them saved. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've witnessed to a person, and tears will begin to stream down my face when they said, "No, I don't want Jesus Christ." When the Bible says the gift of God, it's a gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good to try to achieve it. You don't merit it. It's only Christ. The Bible says here that we see in King Agrippa's life, he said no. He said, "I'm almost persuaded. Almost. I'm almost there." I witnessed to a man not too long ago, and he said, "I'll get saved later, preacher." 2 days later, he died. Today, he burns in hell. Why? Because he never received Christ as Savior according to his own testimony. Now, say, you don't know when it's going to happen to you. I want everybody to be saved that possibly can be saved. I'm a gospel preacher. Now, may I say this? It meant that he had made no decision at all. He said, I'm almost persuaded. I'm almost a Christian. I'm almost a believer. I almost have eternal life. I almost am going to go to heaven. I'm almost having my name written in the book of life. I'm almost born again. But almost does not get you to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. It's not a hope so. It's not a might so. It's not a maybe so. I'll get saved later. Oh, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't be somebody that says, "Well, I've got an excuse." Oh, wipe away your excuse. If God is showing this morning that you need Jesus Christ as Savior, don't wait to be saved. If God is showing you this morning that you need Christ and Christ only as your Savior, don't put it off. Don't put it on the back burner. Don't say, "Well, I'll get more opinions." Oh, no. Let God be true and every man a liar. Here's what we understand. In King Agrippa's life, we see that there was no doubt sin, as you study his life, that he wanted to hold on to. Now, you don't get saved by turning from your sins, but sins can trip a man up to the point that he chooses his sin over the gospel of Christ. I was witnessing to a man not too long ago. I went up to him, and he was standing there, and he was smoking the cigarette, you know, he was sucking the cigarette. You know, he was a cigarette sucker, but he was sucking the cigarette, and blowing. Then I introduced myself. I said, "I'm Pastor Wells from Parkside Baptist Church," and he put that cigarette right back here. Amen. And all of a sudden, the smoke is coming up off of his rear end. That's what you call being on fire. Well, probably not for Jesus, but being on fire, you know. And then after a while, that thing continued to burn, right? So after a while, he went like this. Ooh, 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 ooh. But he was giving more attention to the cigarette than he was to the presentation of the gospel. See, sin can trip a person up so much that they focus on the sin. They focus on the wrong. They focus on an event. They focus on another person. They focus on something else rather than that which is the truth of the gospel. Oh, my dear friend, King Agrippa made a decision. His decision was no. You remember the rich young ruler who was told that he was supposed to leave his possessions and follow, and yet he chose his possessions over Jesus Christ. What was that? That was something that tripped him up. I preach in youth camps, and I've seen it before. A teenager watches another teenager, and in their heart, you can see it. Oh, you can see it. It's all over their face. They want to be saved, but they're waiting for that person to be saved. I've seen Christians that way. Well, I'll get right if they get right. I'll wait. Oh, no. May I say, salvation, when it comes to believing in Christ and receiving Christ as your Savior, is a very personal decision. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 6 and verse 47. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I'm so glad that I do not have to try to work my way to heaven. I'd never get there. I'm so glad that I don't have to be living a righteous lifestyle in order to go to heaven. I'd never make it. I'm so glad that I don't have to become something in order for Christ to be able to save me and take me to heaven. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he'll receive you just as you are. I'm so glad that when you come to Jesus Christ and you see that you need him as your Savior, that he'll save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's the power of God, and God can do it. But a person needs to come to Christ. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For simple illustration, Brother Craig will stand. He's King Agrippa. So how do you know? I'm pretending. But maybe King Agrippa did not have hair either. I don't know. But here, you have the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is speaking to King Agrippa. And he says to King Agrippa, let me tell you about my background. I was a Pharisee. By the way, the Pharisees knew the Bible, knew the scrolls. They knew the truth of that which was recorded in the scriptures as far as an intellectual knowledge. And so he says, I was a Pharisee. And he said, then I became a persecutor of the Christians. I would go into the church and I would mock the people that was listening and cause havoc in the church. And he said, I followed Christians to their houses and got their addresses. And I turned them in and I gave witness against them in court. And they were put in prison and put to death. He said, that's who I was. But there was a day when I understood who the Savior of the world was, and I received that Savior of the world as my personal Savior, trusting him and him only as my Savior. That day when I received Christ as Savior, to the glory of God, God saved me. And let me tell you about my blessed Savior. He gives him the plan of understanding his need of Christ. King Agrippa looks at him, I believe, soberly. I believe looks at him with a solemn look. I believe looks at him with a look of consideration. And I believe in earnest, he says, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. And he walked away from the truth. Now, as far as I know, recording in scriptures, I do not see where he ever had a gospel witness again. As far as I know, that was it. One decision made for one lifetime, and it was over forever. Oftentimes in our travels, oftentimes in our knocking doors, oftentimes in giving people a gospel truth, they'll look at it one time, and then never again will it be brought to their presence. And may I say this morning, consider Christ. May I say this morning that a person that sits under the pitch of my voice that's never once received Christ as Savior, You ought to be that one that says, I am not almost persuaded. I am persuaded. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please. Nobody looking around, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.